And we're back on the rule of three. Two comics, three topics, 10-minute each. The perfect podcast for your modern lifestyle. It's Christmas time at the Rule of Three. This is a very special Christmas episode.
It is.
We are all the topics today will be centered around Christmas in some form or another. Some of it might be a stretch, and
a lot of it will definitely be a stretch.
We are bound and determined to do it. On the other end, on a Christmas cruise, at sea, Bent Washburn
is
with us today.
I'm down in the Caribbean for Christmas.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's I'm away from family. It's going to be not – that part's not good, but the weather's nice.
Are you actually at sea, or you docked?
I am actually at sea. We were docked, and now we are a-moving. Just
wow,
we are
wow. How cool?
Yeah, I guess it's cool. I don't know. It's all right. I'm gonna miss. I would rather be home. I think it's cruises. I don't know if I should.
I always.
What do you think?
I always love. Don't say too much. But I've always loved that radio intro. I don't know when it dates back. Is Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea.
Oh,
and that's where you are. You are actually thanks to modern technology, you are broadcasting from sea.
I am. It'll be a delayed broadcast, but I'm at sea broadcasting. Man, it's a cruise ship. It's I don't know. I it's okay. My dad would be baffled. No one fishes on the ship. That's what would baffle him. You know what I mean? There's like 2,000 passengers, not one pole in the water. This would be a total waste to him. He wouldn't understand. If he ran this cruise, the whole place would just smell like fish guts. Everything. It'd be just that's the cruise that he would have.
So
different industry.
Yeah, all that refrigerator space and not a bucket of bait anywhere.
Yeah, there's no bait anywhere. Yeah.
So later in the show, we're going to be talking about how to celebrate an eco-friendly Christmas. Also,
yes,
we're going to be talking about a good night. We're always going to be talking about that, which was part of it was the ending of The Night Before Christmas. I did not say Merry Christmas and to all a good night.
Oh,
because
no. Offensive. Deeply offended.
Yeah. Apparently, it was an issue last year. It was an issue that people at stores would not say Merry Christmas when you got handed your receipt and your change. They would not say Merry Christmas. They were instructed not to say Merry Christmas, and that became the war on Christmas. But apparently, the war on Christmas is over.
Yeah, and it's weird. There's no press on the end of the war. Not much blood either.
No
I don't
press.
Know when anybody
no
died.
No confetti, no ticker tape, no people grabbing other people
and
in the street
them.
And harassing them. Yeah, and harassing them against their will.
None of that. Yeah. Definitely none of that. Well, I remember as 2 years ago, was it the Starbucks thing where Starbucks didn't come out with a cup that was Christmassy enough, and they got mad, and then some YouTube blogger went on and got in a rage about the Starbucks cup. And then everybody marshaled their idiot forces and went crazy on both sides. I was like, what on earth is going on? People are touching.
Yeah. I did not I kind of suspected that the Starbucks cup outrage was satire and people didn't really realize it. That's kind of my opinion.
But
don't know. Didn't look into it that
it's
deeply.
It's hard to know, because the guy that did that video, he's either really just kind of dumb or he's just convincing, and either way, what are you going to do?
I did not watch.
It was kind of funny. But it triggers this under this war, kind of this culture, this argument over who's going to run stuff, I guess.
Sure, Sure. And then no John Lennon song either. No John and Yoko song. John Lennon's no longer not with us to say war is over if you want it.
He's not. So, man. Yeah, he's gone. But his songs live on.
So Christmas, it's okay now to say Merry Christmas, but apparently certain words you cannot say, especially if you work for the CDC.
That's right.
Apparently, there was a memo circulated, and there are 6, 7, 8, 9 words that you're not allowed to say. A rough count, I might have got that wrong.
Yeah, they said they wanted. Yeah, fetus was one. They said they're hot button words that they want to avoid at the Center of Disease Control, and fetus is one of the hot button words. Fetus.
That I don't understand. Transgender. I can understand that, why they wouldn't want, because they're the Center for Disease Control, and transgender is now it's a normal lifestyle. It's a normal condition. It's actually something that should be encouraged. For disease control to talk about transgenderism, I guess that's why that one was scrubbed.
You think that's? I don't think that's why it was scrubbed, but you know what I mean?
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think that's not their real reason. I mean, they might say that, but you know, I think when you look at the words, science based has to be scrubbed or taken out, and evidence based, and entitlement, diversity, transgender, vulnerable. Well, and all the to me, it's Trump just saying, well, this will shore up my base. You know what I mean? This is the pro Merry Christmas crowd, and they'll love me for this because it'll drive liberals nuts, and then they'll love me.
That I agree. If anything, it's done with that notion in mind.
Oh yeah,
is that he loves poking the liberals.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorite parts about the Harry Potter movies is in the first movie is when the kids, like his stepkids, his stepbrothers, when they all go to the zoo,
mm-hmm.
and he starts pounding on the window and he says the snake exhibit and goes, do something.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
He's boring. Then, of course, well, I won't spoil it for anyone that hasn't seen it, but it's amazing to me how many times when I go to the zoo,
yeah,
how many times that I think of that seeing a kid at an exhibit. I mean, the story just nailed it. I mean, that is what.
Yeah, they want,
and that's who Trump is. Trump is he is the fat kid at the liberal zoo. Pounding on the cages,
yeah.
annoying the animals.
For the delight of all his followers. I mean, they just love him to do that. I don't even think he just loves doing it because he knows that he's really like he's a very skillful pandering comic. He's like that. Like, well, that line worked. I'm going to say that more. And so he's just grown this road act that works with his base,
huh.
And that's one of the bits that kills. This is going to get a good response, because I really think that's what it's about. Especially science-based, evidence-based. I mean, those are attacks on. They're saying when you say that, you're implying that our religious take on life and abortion is not science or evidence based, and so it's false by implication of those terms. I mean,
is it though?
Well, that's what they feel.
When a fetus becomes a human, is there? Because I've been in this argument before with people, and they assume that the pro-choice position is science based, but I don't know that you can have any science that actually determines when a fetus becomes a human being.
I agree. When is it a person? Yeah, I remember hearing your original bit from the stage about that in Iowa and how angry the college girls got listening to, or college well, women yeah, now, but then they were college girls, as we said.
The joke was, of course, is I don't believe it's human until the 59th trimester.
Yeah. until it moves out of the basement, you said, or something.
When it's got a job in its own apartment, yeah.
And I have a bit about how, well, people say life starts at conception. And so even if you know, or they'll say even if it's not a person until birth, it doesn't matter. Birth starts conception, so life starts conception. So a morning after pill is murder. I agree. The line about when and where we actually go from to person, become person, it's a blurry, fuzzy, difficult thing to know, really.
But you know what? There's a hard line, and that's the 10-minute mark.
Oh, we have crossed it.
Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh, o'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtail ring, making spirits bright. Oh, what sport to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight.
And thank you, Simply Dickens, for the lovely Christmas music playing in the bumpers. Tom Campbell has given us permission to use it. It's our Christmas episode. We crack it out once a year. Go to the Simply Dickens on Facebook and check them out. A marvelous group. They do Victorian Christmas music.
I love the name, Simply Dickens. That's great.
Awesome. And later in the episode, we're going to be talking not a Victorian Christmas, but we're going to be talking about how to have a eco-friendly Christmas.
Yeah, sounds fun. That sounds so fun.
But if you remember Clarence Clements Moore, Night Before Christmas, the children were all nestled all snug in their beds while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. I think children nestled is the reason why children remember things for a very long time. I know myself, for all the marvelous toys that Santa gave me over the years, I know I don't remember as many toys I got as the ones that I did not get.
Oh, that's interesting. So you remember the disappointments. And not the,
I remember the disappointment. Yes, that's what I remember.
On the pain, absolutely. But you remember. So that's the next topic. That brings us to the next topic.
Yes.
Older adults.
Apparently.
Should I tell them? Older adults.
Yeah, you can tell them. You started it.
I read. Older adults' forgetfulness is tied to faulty brain rhythms during sleep. So when you get older, you don't know how to sleep well. And apparently, while we're asleep, what our brain does is it transfers stuff we've learned during the day from short-term memory to long-term memory. And if those waves, we have these wavelengths in our head, two different wavelengths, and if they're not in rhythm, then it just doesn't transfer stuff from short-term to long-term. So we forget while we're asleep. And I guess what I like about this, does it sound plausible?
Yeah, no, very plausible. If you've been working computers with computers for the past 20 years, you will remember that there used to be something inside of Norton Utilities called a defrag utility.
Ah.
And you would occasionally run this on your hard drive. And basically what it would do, it would take all your files and stick them back together, because the way a hard drive works, it puts stuff where there's space and then it skips to another space.
That's
and then
right.
So occasionally your files would be all over your hard drive. And what the defrag would do when you ran a defrag, it would take all those files and put them back together so there wouldn't be any skips. It would make your computer run more efficiently. You'd be able to access those files better. It's all done automatically now. It's all done in the background. You can't even it's still being done, but you don't. Back then, you used to have to, you know, pretty much shut down all your applications and then not touch your computer while it was running. Because if you did touch the computer, if you woke it up in the middle of a defrag, you could actually lose an entire file. And that, I believe, is exactly what was happening, what happens with people sleeping. And the defrag in your brain doesn't have you if you're not sleeping well, it's like waking up in the middle of a file transfer and you lose that entire file. And that file happens to contain the important information about where you left the keys, that you have a doctor's appointment,
your PIN number,
you know,
your passwords. That's
your
where all our passwords
your
go.
Password.
They get dropped in my sleep. I just like it every time scientists find a new synonym for stupid, I like that. You know what I mean? It's like I can now. This can be instead of stupid. I'm just not rhythmed in my sleep. I don't have good sleep rhythm. Just nicer.
Is it circadian rhythms? Is that do I have that right? Is that what those are? Are those the circadian rhythms?
I didn't see that they were called circadian rhythms. But I don't know. I forgot that. I call them circadian.
But I've got a heavy Michigan accent, so it's the town named after the chief, the chain named after the car is Pontiac.
Oh, Pontiac.
It's not Pontiac. Is it spelled? It's Pontiac.
The car. Pontiac. No. Through the nose, Pontiac. It's not American unless it's nasal, Pontiac. So here's my question.
I don't know that.
What are the odds? I read this article today. What are the odds that this makes it from my short-term memory to my long-term memory? That's what I want to know. I'm hoping I sleep well. But
what makes it?
This the memories of this article. I mean, I forget a lot of stuff.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I forget a lot of stuff, and I've noticed it more so over the last few years.
I never forget to eat or sleep. The lizard brain is very good. My lizard brain is extremely functional.
It is.
There are certain things that I never forget.
And there's always a reminder, you know, there. You got to drive under there. But most of the stuff, I'll read a book, and I'll say, well, this is interesting, and I don't need to know this. And so it's like my brain immediately just, I think I forget it before I even go to sleep half the time. I swear. It's like I go to sleep, my brain doesn't even have anything to transfer half the time.
you're not entering data?
Yeah, yeah. I don't think it's really even entering anymore. I worry about that.
Huh.
But,
so it's kind of like your life is now like a streaming movie.
Yeah,
it comes through the computer. It comes through the computer. It is accessed once and then it automatically goes into the trash.
Yeah, it is. Now, according to my wife, it's been that way a while. But yeah,
which has always puzzled me is that there should be a way if you wanted to. That when you're streaming a movie, there should be a way to record it. That's what it's doing when it's buffering. It's recording just a little bit of the movie.
Yeah.
So that if the internet goes down, you can still watch that little bit that you have recorded on your hard drive. And so it's there. It exists.
Yeah.
So you should be able to say, oh, by the way, don't delete that when I'm done watching it. But we don't have those controls on the computer anymore. It's those controls. Probably at one time you could.
So it doesn't keep I don't need to clean my hard drives and stuff. No, it does keep somewhere, doesn't it? Like when you download
when you stream a movie.
Yeah.
When you like stream a movie from Netflix. No.
Oh,
I don't think
that's
it does.
Right. No, it doesn't. That's right. Yeah, that's right. No, it doesn't.
It doesn't. It could. Theoretically, it could. There's no reason why it couldn't. You know, it's a very simple process, but it's like, oh, here's this file. You can look at it, but you can't touch it.
I think. Boy, that's life.
Something.
I think the laptop, your laptop only remembers stuff your wife shouldn't see. Then it'll remember it. Oh, yeah, I'm going to keep this. I'm going to have something. Pretty sure it remembers all of those files.
Yes, this is going into I'm not even saving this into the desktop. This is going into the documents and it is going to back up in RAID format.
I'm afraid so. Yeah, that's
so would that indicate that wives get more sleep than we do?
Yeah, because they remember everything I do wrong, she can remember all of it. So for the next argument, I mean, I think it takes all the stuff like, oh, this is going to work. This come in handy. Meanwhile, my brain is giving up hope. You're not going to win anyway. Just forget.
Cut, paste.
What was that?
Cut and paste.
Yeah.
They can cut and paste. Oh, here's a really good argument. Oh, let me spice it up. I'll take this from this file and just transfer it over. Oh no, this isn't going to work. It's saying that this file's too big to export on the clipboard.
Yeah. No file is too big or too small if it can be used in an argument. Yeah.
So I guess the thing is that older people need more sleep.
Better
I guess
sleep.
That's what,
I think I'm forgetting stuff because I wake up to pee more. So every time you wake up to pee.
Well, that's a good thing to remember.
I agree. It's important to wake up to pee and to get out of bed. I mean, you should get out of bed too. You shouldn't just wake up, pee, and go back.
There's nothing worse. There is nothing worse than that dream that you're in the men's room.
Oh, have you done that? You've done that? I've done that.
Yeah. And for some reason you just can't get going. Then all of a sudden you wake up, you go, wait a minute, I'm dreaming. And you wake up and go, ooh, that was so close.
Oh, it was just close for you? Oh no, it wasn't close for me. Oh no.
It's kinda like the legend that if you die when you're sleeping, you'll die in real life.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true, but I guarantee if you let it go while you're dreaming.
Oh, I can guarantee that. I've done that. Yeah. Oh, that was horrible. I had beer when I got into my early 30s. You know, I'd been Mormon my whole life, and I drank some beer. Not a lot, just some. And that's when I had the first time that happened to me in my adult life. It just soiled my sleeping bag. Not soiled. That's the wrong term. Wet my sleeping bag. As an adult, and it's a sign from God, like you can't drink beer. You're not supposed to.
That was God's way of telling you. How many sleeping bags are we going to have to go through, Ben?
Yeah, back to the straight and narrow, buddy. You can't sin against the greater light. You can't be drinking Lone Star beer while camping in Arkansas as a comedian. That's just too far down.
And speaking of hard rules,
oh boy.
We're at 10.
So tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
Thank you again to Simply Dickens for providing us Christmas music on this very special Christmas episode. We've talked about whether or not to say Merry Christmas. We've talked about what else did we talk? Oh, getting a good night's sleep. You all a good night. And now it's for those of you who care about the earth more than you care about the earth more than giving your kids a good Christmas. We're looking for Christmas articles on the Huffington Post. We stumbled across how to have an eco-friendly Christmas.
Yes, yes.
And it's it kind of reminds me that a lot of I feel a lot of liberalism is a way of excusing guys for being crappy boyfriends. It's like you know, well, honey, yes, I would. I want to marry you, and I would give you an engagement ring. However, do you know
blood diamonds,
how those are mined?
Yes,
you really do not want to encourage that sort of. So girls with liberal boyfriends don't get diamonds. I would hold the door for you and hold the seat and pick up the tab but that would just be demeaning to you as a human being. That a fur coat? Are you kidding?
Yeah, it's bad. Yeah,
you would really want me to buy you a fur coat and torture those little animals? It's liberalism has made it really easy for guys to date.
That's great. Isn't that a good thing? but very difficult for them to make their first move without lawsuits. That's the other part.
I've often speculated that a lot of liberalism was created by women's studies professors, is that they want men to be such crappy boyfriends that it will drive women to becoming lesbians.
What? And, this is like your elephant farm theory. This is crazy. You're picking on the poor liberals because they want an eco-friendly Christmas. They just wanted an eco-friendly Christmas, Tim. That's all. They just wanted a small carbon footprint associated.
Well, it's the same thing. It's like, honey, I would love to buy you all those toys, but you know what it's going to do to the environment?
And they won't fit in our tiny house either, so we can't.
Look at this sad polar bear, honey. Look at this sad polar bear. Every time I have to buy you a Christmas toy, that polar bear gets even sadder. You don't want that, do you, honey?
Oh, man. You do not sound like a liberal boyfriend at all.
Oh, no, that was a liberal dad.
Oh, okay.
That was a liberal dad. Okay. Guilting out the kid who asked for the I don't even know what kids ask for nowadays. Yeah. What you would know. What are the kids asking for?
Well, you know that what are my kids asking for? Computers.
Yeah, what are they asking for?
They always want computers.
Computers.
Now. Yeah, that's
really?
What, you know, computers, tablets, games. No, we won't give that to them. We don't give them the Xbox and that. Yeah.
If I were a kid, what I would want right
what
now
would you
this
want?
Christmas?
What would you want?
A 3D printer.
A 3D printer. Oh, wow.
Yes.
You know, that's interesting. I bet Ian would love that. My son would love that.
Mattel makes it. Mattel makes one. It's remember the thing maker?
Really?
Yeah. Remember the thing maker in our youth that you used to make the creepy crawlers?
I don't remember that.
A little before your time. It's a little hot plate, and then you'd get like plastic resin, and then you'd squirt it into these molds, and then you'd put them on the thing maker, and they'd get really hot and bake the plastic, and they would become like a little plastic lizards and snakes and spiders.
Then you throw them in the garbage.
Yeah, it was a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You step on them a couple
times. You've inhaled all the fumes from the resins, yes.
And then you throw them in the garbage, and now they're floating in the ocean off the coast somewhere. They're part of that giant island of trash.
But anyway, Mattel has resurrected the Thingmaker brand trademark, and it's now they now have a 3D printer called the Thingmaker.
The Thingmaker is
and
that
it's a user friendly 3D printer, and I think it's under $100.
Well, Tim, it is not earth friendly. I don't think it's earth friendly. Okay. I think
exactly. You're right. Yes, you are going to be making more. Because what are the kids going to be making with it?
Garbage.
Are they going to be making a can crusher so that they can help recycle aluminum?
No.
Are they going to be making a reusable cup so they don't have to use paper cups when they go to the? No.
No.
They're going to be making lizards and snakes and spiders again.
Just junk. Their own Happy Meal toys. And it's garbage. It's putting little kids overseas out of work. That's what it's doing. Because they were making those toys.
Only,
they need those jobs.
Not only are you increasing the size of the landfill, you are also making Chinese children very unhappy.
You're not spreading Christmas cheer across the world. You're basically eliminating elves. You're making your own toys. It's like you got the factory in your own house now. That's a bad thing. This is not eco at all. Where did you get off?
I wonder if some sweatshop owner in China with a real sick sense of humor dresses up the children like elves.
Well, I wonder if there's a sweatshop owner without a sick sense of humor. That's what I wonder. I think this go hand in hand. Dresses them up like elves. All right, Merry Christmas, everybody. That's sick. You're a sick man. Yeah, that's funny, but sick. Oh, we got to get back to the tips.
In case we haven't lost everybody who might be interested in this, I guess we should issue some of the tips.
Opt for a real Christmas tree.
And it's because they're important to our economy. They help small family farms. And $100,000, it's a billion-dollar industry, is growing and harvesting Christmas trees. Also, I think if you want to help global warming,
Yeah.
What you can do is you can, when you're done with that tree, bury it in your backyard in a concrete lined vault.
Why would you tell people to do what? What?
Well, because that sequesters the carbon that the tree absorbed from the atmosphere during the year.
If
you put it in the landfill, or set it on fire, which have you ever set a Christmas tree on fire?
On purpose or accident? Which one? Both. But yeah.
Either one.
Yeah.
Either one. It's
exciting.
Especially, you know, around January 5th. Oh,
they go up fast.
It is spectacular.
Yeah, awesome.
It is spectacular.
Oh, the sound.
Yes.
They pop. It's great.
Yeah. And then it just turns into like a big flare, and then all that's left is like a black tar ball on the neighbor's driveway.
Have you ever set an artificial tree on fire, Tim? Even better. The smoke can kill you. It's great.
I've tried. Yeah. They don't burn so good. Man. They don't burn so good. Underwriters Laboratories and the Tort Lawyers of America have made it very hard to set an artificial Christmas tree.
So it's not like a tire fire? Well, if you make your own artificial tree and then light it on fire, then you got something going. I don't know. They say it's a billion.
Tip number two.
What was that?
Tip number two. Oh, no, you said something was a billion.
A billion-dollar industry, Christmas trees, and I have a hard time believing that. That's crazy.
Well, fair.
Okay.
Use LED lights, which I don't know if you can really get any lights that aren't LEDs anymore.
Oh,
that disappoints me. I don't like the LED lights as much as they're just too. The color is just too perfect. I like that.
That's all we got. That's all I could get. That's all we have at our house are LED lights.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't even know if that's a tip or just something to make you feel better.
I like the LED lights. I do. They seem to last a little longer. Man, they are cheap. Is that, again, is they come from the factory over? Is it because they're imported, I assume? They are cheap.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. You can't make LEDs here.
Yeah.
My God, the toxins you use to make those metals that are used and those alloys that are used in LED lights. No,
there's
no way you can.
We mine it over there.
You can make those in the U.S.
But don't we bring it here?
Yeah.
No, we can't make them.
No, it's made over there.
Oh, okay.
No, it's made over there because because the plant's all you put arsenic in silicone and stuff like that. You mix arsenic with silicone. That's how you make them. So it's not. No, you can't make them here.
Oh, well, you can use them here. We use them here.
Yeah.
I like them.
Tip number three, be mindful about gifts.
Oh,
make good choices while shopping for holiday gifts. In some cases, that may involve buying less. See?
Oh.
See?
Oh,
I'm
man.
So sorry, Billy.
I love this. This is great
advice. Going local? I don't know. Boy, what? I don't know that there's anything. Maybe some micro beer.
What are they making? micro breweries.
Refined oil is pretty much, I think, all they make locally here.
Well, in the D.C. area.
Choosing items made from recycled materials.
Oh,
now, there you go.
That's lame.
That's nothing says Merry Christmas like a styrofoam, like a dirty styrofoam cup.
That's something that's not.
Starbucks cup from last year.
Recycled materials doesn't sound good. Yeah. I got to admit, that one, I don't like the sound of that one. But I like buying less. I love that one. I'm going to go for that.
Oh, here's another way to reduce waste. You steer away from object-based gifts. You know, objects. People don't want objects. No, you can plan experiences. Donate to charity in someone's name or plant trees.
Well, this would be the world's crappiest Christmas, I think. That'd be horrible. But I can guarantee you.
I'll tell you what.
Without an object gift, you've planned an experience right out. That's going to get you a specific experience with your children. That's you know what? My father-in-law used to do this. He was a green Christmas, eco-friendly Christmas guy. He would wrap up just sticks and rocks and put them under the tree. And then the kids would unwrap sticks and rocks and cry. And his wife would... Isn't that horrible? But very eco-friendly.
That is so twisted.
Yeah, it is twisted. It messed up, I think. It kind of messes kids up. So be mindful. I'll have to remember to do that one if I sleep better, maybe. Maybe if I just sleep better.
Sleep better, be mindful, and don't say fetus. And those are the those are the Christmas holiday tips.
That's right.
From Rule of Three, as we merge into the final song of the show. We will wish you and yours a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year,
Happy Holidays. All the episodes. If you want to get Happy Holidays, if we have secular friends listening to the two.
Well, I don't know if there. I don't know at this point if Hanukkah is over or not. So I mean, it's. I think all the holidays are over.
Oh.
So I think the only other holiday that everyone celebrates would be the New Year.
Okay.
So that's.
There we go.
So that's where we're at right now. If you want to give us a gift, leave us some comments on iTunes or. Give us a rating. Tell us what you liked about the show. Tell us what you didn't like. All the shows are there on iTunes or timslagle.com. You can go there at Tim Slagle Comedy on Facebook, at Tim Slagle on Twitter, or if you want to get a hold of Bent.
It's at BentWashburn.com is the best way, or Bent Washburn on Facebook. If you spell Bent, B-E-N-G-T, and you type Washburn, you'll find me. I'm the only one.
And we'll see you all right here next year.
Angel came, and unto certain shepherds brought tidings of the same, how that in Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.